This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's go back to the phone lines by way of our next guest, Elliot Shure Parks. We can officially say we'll open up training camp for us right now with Elliot, brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. By the way, Seltzer, how unbelievable is it that the injury has occurred? I mean, it's both
expected and unbelievable. I don't know how that's possible, but it's both things.
And I know Spike's going to act like I'm making this up. I know he is. I'm not making it up. All right? There's an injury. We're trying to figure out what's going on. Let's talk to Elliot right now. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
Man, do you remember back in the day when Joe Banner used to hate when another team stole the headline from the Eagles? I feel like this is the NovaCare has to be shaking right now with the news of your injury.
It is nuts, man. It's a funny way to frame it.
Sorry to hear it.
No, I appreciate that, man. I do, but you know, tough guys. You know, keep going, and that's what my aim will be.
So, what are you planning to do?
Try to keep going. Try.
The good news is you don't have a season coming up, so you literally just have to do these next three things, and you can pretty much rest the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true.
So I wouldn't worry about being healthy a year from now. It's about right now.
That's a fair point, man.
Leave it all out on the field, buddy.
Yeah. All right. So, Elliot, let's talk training camp, man. This is awesome. Eagles at camp, at least in the next couple hours. I keep saying that. Next couple hours. Tell us when those next couple hours are. When do they arrive?
Yeah, so they'll be reporting this morning. They'll obviously go to the NovaCare. All the players are expected to report, which I know we all assumed, but is worth noting when you consider all the just the known division, the contract issues they're having, Terry McLaurin, Micah Parsons. So all 90 players are expected to report. They'll have a team meeting. They'll, you know, do their medical check-ins. And then tomorrow, first practice, 10 a.m. So it's not like the old days where we used to park outside of the Lehigh dorms and watch them walk in. We won't get any access today, but tomorrow they'll hit the field, and I'll obviously be there.
Is there a conditioning test today, Elliot, or tomorrow, or is that a thing of the past as well?
Yeah, I would assume the conditioning test is today. You know, I know in the past, I think a few years ago, Goddard failed it because he misunderstood the directions or something like that, but I would assume all 90 players will be out on the practice field tomorrow.
And you'll have the results of that, right?
Well, those are private, right?
Well, the results will be who's on the field and who's not, right?
So I think who's failed their conditioning test.
Yeah. So tomorrow, like I keep saying, all 90 players, but N'Kobe Dean, I'd assume today you'll probably get the news that he is going to start training camp on PUP. So probably won't be all 90, but they'll all report.
Yeah. Elliot, let's talk about where this thing starts, maybe even before the conditioning, which will be a Sirianni address to the team. James brought up earlier that this is one of the most intriguing things from his standpoint, how Sirianni will attack this. Because obviously they've struggled in past years when getting to the Super Bowl the next year. Do you think he stays pretty consistent with what he's done, or there's a newfangled message that's like the new? Because like, I don't remember Tough Detail Together until last year. I don't remember You Can't Be Great Without the Greatness of Others until last year. But then he's got a stuff he's been using for 4 years. Which bag of tricks do you think he reaches into to try to reach these guys in a maximum way?
Yeah, so just from being around Nick this offseason, I think the message that he's going to probably preach this year is sustained success. I don't think you'll hear him talk a lot about repeating. I don't even think you'll hear him use those words or that word intentionally. So I think the message is going to be about sustaining the success. And, you know, not just from being around Nick, but from being around a team this offseason, I really do feel like they are confident they have found the blueprint on how to win. And I think the message from Nick will be, we know what it takes to be successful. And so we have to come in and do those same things every day that we've been doing so that we can have the same type of success. So obviously baked in there is a message of we can do this again. But I think the stronger message from Nick, what I expect him to say to the players is we have the blueprint. It's about doing what we've done and not looking ahead to just getting to the Super Bowl, which I think they probably did too much of in 2023.
Do we have the players it takes to be successful at the strong safety position right now, Elliot?
I don't think so. Not right now. I mean, there's certainly players with some intriguing upside. Andrew Mukuba obviously signed his rookie deal yesterday. He'll be at training camp. And I think they expect him to start. My guess is they're hoping that when camp breaks and they start to prepare for week one, they'll have Andrew Mukuba there as the starter. I know
so Fangio, he beats out Sidney Jones very shortly after camp starts.
Sidney Brown. But yeah,
Sidney Brown.
Sidney Jones, a throwback there. That's bit of a different situation. But Sidney Brown, I really don't think he has a very strong grip on the starting job. I wouldn't even completely rule him out as a potential trade candidate. We've seen that Fangio likes the guys he likes and doesn't like the guys that he doesn't trust. And they've had an opportunity to put Sidney Brown out there last year, and they really didn't, right? So I think he will obviously be given a chance in camp, but if they get to the second week and they're not liking what they see, it would not surprise me if they bring somebody in or they make a trade. But I think Mukuba is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
I'm fascinated. I think we're all fascinated by what's going to happen on the outside, cornerback-wise.
Yeah.
Kelee Ringo, outside cornerback, is that his job to lose starting camp, basically blocking Cooper DeJean in base situations?
So I think in base, Cooper will be out there. Cooper and Quinyon Mitchell will play 100% of the defensive snaps. That's going to be the plan. They're going to want him out there. Now, the question is when they go to nickel, which is essentially their base, right? They're going to play it probably over 75% of the time this year, if not more. So I think it will be Kelee out there to begin training camp. I do think it's his job to lose. The player I would keep an eye on, we haven't talked about a ton, is Mack McWilliams. Obviously not an early draft pick, but he was really good at the Senior Bowl. We've seen them really, put a lot of stock into Senior Bowl performances. He's someone that's played on the outside. He's played on the inside. And I thought he looked good in the offseason workouts that we were able to attend. So I think if they had to play a game today, it would be Kelee on the outside, Cooper and Nickel and Quinyon on the other side. But if Mack McWilliams looks really good in nickel and Kelee struggles, it wouldn't completely shock me if Cooper stays on the outside and Mack McWilliams gets that nickel job.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. And what about Perry Nickerson? Perry Nickerson also, guy who is a nickel back by trade.
Yeah, so I think what he has going for him is he's been around Fangio for 2 years. He was with Fangio in Miami, but we saw last year that history didn't really get him much, right? If I remember correctly, he was on the practice squad all year. So I think he's somebody that, best case scenario, maybe makes the roster. But I think if Perry Nickerson is playing this year, they've not been able to sustain success if he's playing.
Elliot Short Park's with us right now. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. Started training camp today. We also have our Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Get 0% financing for 36 months and $1,000 bonus cash on select new Silverados. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, if only one of the teams, our teams, could win a championship in the next 365 days, which one would you prefer it be? We've put them in order of how they will be sequenced. Moving forward, Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers. Which would you rather see win the next title if only one of them wins it in the next 365 days? Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Elliot, let's talk about the first-round draft pick. I think it is obvious that Jahad Campbell only became a first-round draft pick for the Eagles because of injury. Otherwise, someone would have gobbled him up 10 or 15 picks earlier. Are you hearing anything about when we may see him on the practice field?
Yeah, I think he'll be on the practice field tomorrow. It's a matter of what he does. Will he be a full participant? That I'm not sure of. But I'm very confident he will be active and playing week one against Dallas.
Wow.
So the question is really, what will his role be? And if I had to guess right now how this thing will play out, I think maybe he's limited tomorrow. Maybe they take him slow. But I think week one against Dallas, he will be out on the field in certain sub-package situations. I don't think he'll be a starter in week one. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I don't think that's where this is going. But I think he will be an active member of the defense. He'll blitz the quarterback. They'll put him in certain obvious maybe run situations if they're comfortable with him in there. But yeah, I feel good about where Jahad Campbell is at, and I think the team does as well.
So does he line up as an off-ball inside backer to start?
Well, I think it depends. So right now, you know, obviously they'll play two linebackers, the vast majority of snaps. And I think it'll be Trotter calling the defense and Zach Bond off of him. So those will be the two right now. That's what I expect to see tomorrow.
Wow.
So the question will really be, how quickly does Jahad Campbell pick it up? And I just think with how much Fangio values practice reps, the fact that he will have not gotten all offseason. Now, Fangio has worked with him one-on-one at some of these practices. So, you know, it's not like he's not practicing. But Trotter's been here for a full year. You know, he has experience. So I would be surprised if Jahad Campbell is one of the two starters week one. But I do think they will find ways to get him on the field. And really, his best role is disruption. Like, that's what he's good at now. He is good at just causing disruption. And so I don't think you have to be a full-time starter to do that. I think they can put you in situations that allow you to do that.
We've heard the name Smile Mondon a lot. How does he factor into that competition as well? You know, fifth-round draft pick this year compared to Trott Jr., who was a fifth-round pick last year.
Yeah, so he is a better athlete than Trotter Jr. You can just look at him physically. He's closer to Bond, I would say, athletically than he is Trotter in terms of build. Trotter's more of a N'Kobe type. I think Mondon is more of the Zach Bond body type. Not as big, but I think more long that way. And what they really like about him is his football IQ. He obviously played at a top-level program in Georgia. He played, I think, almost every defensive snap there. So they feel confident about his football IQ. I just think he's got too many people in front of him to win a job, but I expect him to be more than likely active week one. I think he can be a great special teams player for them, and then you never know, maybe injury, he gets in there. But yeah, definitely a player I'm excited to watch.
Elliot, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. I am curious if you think he will privately or publicly be any different. I mean, he seems to be wired the way he's wired, but he's now won a bowl, which some could say might make him more relaxed. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, you know, more relaxed. Maybe lets his guard down more publicly, maybe doesn't. How do you think winning the Super Bowl will change him either privately or publicly with how he presents himself?
So it's a great question. And I think that after they lost that Super Bowl in 2022, you know, we spent so much time talking about, why did he seem different, right? Because the Jalen I heard about prior to that 2022 Super Bowl was not the Jalen I heard things about after the 2022 Super Bowl. And if you remember, prior to the last Super Bowl, the night before, he talked about how that loss changed him, right? And you could just see it, right? Once you get that answer, if that's what it was, you can see why he was the way he was the last 2 years. Now, will he be different? I would be pretty surprised if, you know, he holds court at the podium tomorrow and he's cracking jokes. And, you know, I just don't think that's who he's ever going to be. But I think the other question, too, is with Brandon Graham gone, and I know he'll be around, but he's not on the team anymore. Brandon was Jalen's closest confidant on the team, and you can just see they're around each other all the time. So I do think Brandon being gone might force him to, you know, I don't want to say like hang out with different people, but maybe force him into maybe an uncomfortable place he wasn't when Brandon was here. So it's a great question. I don't know the full answer to it yet, but it is an intriguing, you know, story going into the season.
Yeah, it's important. Elliot, who's the leader on defense? Is it Zach Bond or is it someone else?
I think it's Zach Bond. You know, I think Slay was kind of the leader last year. But I think Bond, you know, you can just see the way they promote him. You look at some of the mic'd up footage, how talkative he is. I think someone like Nolan Smith could step into that role. You would obviously like Jalen Carter to do it. But Bond, even though he hasn't been here as long as those guys, he has been in the league longer. And I just think he has more of a leadership personality. So Bond definitely up there. Reed Blankenship, I think, is an underrated leader on this team. But yeah, it's definitely a year where some of these young guys, they're going to find out who has leadership ability and who doesn't.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, last thing. Which reporter amongst your brethren in that Eagles reporting group will be the first to ask Nick Sirianni if he's playing the starters in the first preseason game? And when does that question first get asked, which Nick Sirianni will not answer? When does that moment occur?
Well, I got news. I can make it happen tomorrow if you want. So I can control
good luck,
this
buddy.
Answer. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I dare you. I'll give you $100 tomorrow.
$100
$100 if you ask him if Saquon Barkley. Ask him if Saquon's going to play in the first Eagles preseason game. $100, Elliot.
I mean, I've done worse for less than $100.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Elliot, stay well. We look forward to you on the beat, your practice report stats, and obviously joining the program many, many times over the next couple weeks alone. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff, buddy. Good stuff.
But let's start overarching, as this season obviously has huge, high, big expectations. And, you know, I want to go back to a poll question and result we had a few days ago, because we put the following poll out a couple days ago. And the question was, have you ever felt, this is right before camp started, have you ever felt this confident about the Eagles heading into training camp? And 56% of people said no. They have never felt this confident, meaning this is the most confident they've ever been. Right now, this team, you know, July, about to turn to August, about to turn to September in a season, is the most confident 56% of Eagles fans have ever felt. And on many levels, it makes sense. They just won the Super Bowl, and they did so in a form and fashion they had never done before. They blew out a great team, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I get it. 44% of people said they have been more confident before or this confident. So to be clear, equal confident or more confident in the past. I'm in that group. Now, let me be clear. It's close. This is a great football team. I believe that. But I will tell you, there are elements of this football team that give me some cause for pause. And the team that I was most confident in my lifetime, in the July about to turn to August phase, would be the 04 Eagles. And I'm curious how this resonates with people, because, you know, there's five or six teams you can consider. There's the teams that, you know, generally we think about the teams that came off a championship or near it. 81 Eagles after 80, 03 Eagles after 02, 04 Eagles after 03, 05 Eagles after 04, 18 Eagles after 17. We were, 23. I mean, they had just lost the Super Bowl in 22. We all thought they should have won and were the best team. So there have been, six or seven times in the past where it's of a similar ilk. I'll tell you this, John, the reason why I lean toward at this stage in 04 over this one, I knew for sure that was a complete team, meaning offense, defense, special teams. I thought they were 3-for-3 going in, and I thought the year proved they were 3-for-3. Now, they didn't win the title, gave us a hell of a ride for 5 months, didn't win the title, lost to one I thought maybe the best Patriot team other than 07. Ironically, that team didn't win. But here's my point. Offense, defense, special teams, that team checked it. This team, I do think, checks offense, but I can't say in a prolific way, unless Jalen gets a little better in the passing game. Defense was exceptional last year, but they've lost a lot. Special teams, I don't know. Jake Elliott was a concern last year. Didn't really matter. They plowed through it. John, are you more confident with this squad, past squads? And again, this goes to everyone at 215-592-9494. It's a way to – because, look, we all know we're pretty darn confident. But is it the most confident you've ever been? Let us know, John. What do you say?
I'm really – first of all, I'm really tired of hearing Jalen needs to get a little bit better. Jalen needs to get more consistent.
Well, they were not an A-plus offense.
The end of the year, that no one in the world could beat them.
They weren't an A-plus passing offense, in your opinion. They were an A-plus offense.
They were not an A-plus offense.
This offense with consistency in the passing game is an all-time. And I'm disgusted by the fact that
John, you called yesterday on the air on WIP, you referred to Jalen Hurts' season last year as, quote, uneven.
It was your word yesterday. Uneven.
Okay, so let's not act like the whole season.
They had one of the best rushing attacks of all time.
I understand
that. Hold up. In the two most important games of the season, they scored more points than any team has ever scored in those two games.
I understand that, but there were also like 17 or 18 other games. I mean, I'm talking about a whole season.
But
and
he commandeered an offense that was as prolific as any I've ever seen. That is.
You think they're better than the greatest show on turf? You think they're better than Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Green?
Well,
they
weren't. I played against
they
those
weren't.
Guys. I played against those guys. I played with
guys,
those guys.
Guys, they won last year because their
team.
Defense was number one.
Joe, I was.
Their offense wasn't.
I played against that offense. I watched from the sideline. I did the same things that they did in that offense. I'm telling you. That offense last year was the most dominant thing anyone's ever seen.
It's not, that's not accurate.
Joe, part of the reason they had the top defense was because of that running game. Dude,
you guys are in such a revisionist world. Listen, James, was their defense...
for 2,000 yards and took the last game off, dude.
James
that wasn't an all-time great running game?
James
asking you... Hold up, real quick.
Yes.
You answer my question first. Was it an all-time great running game?
Yes.
Right. What do you want to do most on offense if you can do it? If you can just run the ball down team's throats. Isn't that the point of football? Like, if you can just run it and win it?
James
Seltzer,
question for
you.
Question for you, James. Because here's the deal. Now we're getting a whole different area than I thought we'd get into. But the revisionist history and people not keeping it real is stunning. James, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Just give me an answer. Which unit was better last year, the offense or defense?
Probably the defense. But again, I think they were a
probably,
lot closer.
James,
I think
it's embarrassing. You're embarrassing Temple by saying probably. Of course the defense was better. They were one of the great defenses of all time. Of course, keep it real,
I think
man.
You are under. I think because of how good the defense was, you are not acknowledging how great the offense was.
We had a 2,000-yard rusher.
Of all time, dude.
You don't think that offense
of all time.
You don't think that offense was one of the most prolific of all time?
No.
We had a 2,000-yard rusher, Joe.
No.
It's because they didn't need to be, Joe. They ran it down teams' throats.
Okay,
I'm dead serious. I'm serious about this.
James,
when
they put up 55 points
in the NFC Championship game. No, I think you're acting fool. I think this is nonsensical what you're talking about. They put up 40 in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know what you're talking
about. James, there were all the other games they slogged through.
But, Joe.
They scored the most points.
What are you
talking about? I'm aware of that.
Like, it's on the ring. They had the 145? 145?
In the games that mattered most. Have you ever heard of building
James,
up a
James,
lead
you
in
know
the
how
games
embarrassing
that
it is that you think
the defense was better than the offense, but I think you are
underrated. You should go talk to Spike and Jack with that opinion.
Buddy,
slap you around.
Buddy, look,
there's
four people on this show, and there's one person talking the way you're talking, and three people talking the way we're talking.
James, have you ever been more
confident?
James Seltzer, have you ever been more confident entering a season than this one?
I don't think so. Because it's tough. In 04, I was super confident. It's clearly between this year and 04. I was confident in 18, but not in the same way I am this year.
Carson thing was weird.
The Carson
you didn't
thing
know
was
when
weird.
He'd play.
I thought they would rally around him coming back. That was my hope. But it's not the same thing as just looking at these two rosters and how stacked they are. I think it's this year, though, because in 04, no matter how much that... I had confidence they would get to the Super Bowl in 04. I didn't have confidence they would win it. Obviously, I'd never seen them win it, but to your point...
Well, we hadn't even seen them
get
there.
That Patriots team was a juggernaut team, and they had already won two. Like, they were coming in, so, like, I didn't go into that year thinking, we're going to win the Super Bowl. I came into that year thinking, we're going to get to the Super Bowl. This year, because I just saw them do it, and I know how great this roster is and this team is, I came in thinking they're going to win the Super Bowl. So I do think it's this year.
Back in 2003, when I arrived here in March in Philadelphia, I was, or April, I think, beginning of the offseason, because I just signed as an unrestricted free agent.
Sure.
The moment I arrived, I was floored by the fact that everyone was saying Super Bowl. Everyone was saying, I walk into Wawa, everyone's yelling Super Bowl. I walk in, I sit down at a table at a restaurant and everyone is yelling Super Bowl. Yeah. But it wasn't, you guys are going
to
go win the whole thing.
It was,
I know this is the year you guys will get there. Yeah. I know this is, and I'm thinking, man, I just played in the Super Bowl with the Oakland Raiders. I'm not as confident as everyone else seems to be that my new Eagles team is going to get there.
Because you knew how hard it was, right?
Because I did. Yeah. I had just been through that. Yeah. And the year before I went to the Super Bowl, we had the Tuck Rule game.
Right.
And the year before that, Tony Siragusa broke Rich Gannon's collarbone in the end zone in the second quarter of the AFC Championship game. So that team got completely discounted as well. That team should have been a Super Bowl champion, in my mind. And the team that got completely robbed with the Tuck Rule should have been a Super Bowl champion, in my mind. The one year we went, as an Oakland Raider,
we're playing against my old coach, the guy who knows exactly what the language of the offense is.
No, I get it. So it's hard. Look,
so it's next to the circumstance that comes into play here is almost impossible to predict. It's crazy to think
about. I'll tell you this, Sean. I actually think a large part of what you're saying there is part of why I lean at this stage back in the summer of 04 with that team than this team, because knowing how hard it can be to get there or win, and that the Eagles just did, like, what are the chances they do it again? Now, they could. I'm not saying
I
they
think
can't.
That they're great. But I think the chances are great. And I think again, back then in 03, we're all cheering the chances of getting there. The times have changed. We now cheer the chances of dominating the league. We cheer the chances of what we did last year, which was we took over the world of football in the postseason. Like, it was a laugher. It was not even close. I do not expect it to look that way again.
No, I don't either.
But I do expect that this team, this organization, they have everything it takes, and they are planning
to do that again.
They're not just get there, but win it again.
They're in a great spot. There is no question about that. Well, look, we'll ask you at 215-592-9494, have you ever felt this confident? I'll tell you, when you brought in and out to Philadelphia Sports, I might say like the 09 Phillies. I'm just going a little further in a little different direction. I'd say I was more confident in the 09 Phillies than this crew, maybe in part because football injuries are tough. But look, 04 was great. 05, I felt pretty good going in until the T.O. stuff. This one you feel great going in. I mean, there's a lot to it. Where do you stand on it?
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp. Driven by Forest River RV, by Camper World RV Sales, Service, Parts, and Accessories. Hugh, we're back. Eagles training camp is underway. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. How's everybody doing? You see, I got my you see what I did?
Yeah, that cup's almost gone already.
No, it's almost gone, man. They saw me coming. They was like, Mr. Douglas, what took you so long? They knew I was coming.
We had a cup waiting for you.
Yes. But, man, it's finally here. Football season is finally here. The people are here, man, and it's kind of warm.
Well, it's July. It's late July.
Yeah. It's kind of warm.
Yeah, that's.
I got sweat under my man boots.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I was out there. Yeah. You're not the only one. Hugh, we are back. The Eagles are back. We have a lot to get to today. Scheduled today to join us after practice as the Eagles are on the field right now stretching for their first practice of the summer. Quinyon Mitchell and Nolan Smith going to join the show later on today. We're excited to talk to those guys, defending Super Bowl champions. Elliot will join us. He has his notepad, so he's charting those interceptions.
Oh, and he had his nice – you see his kit?
Of course.
Oh, he had a nice kit on today.
Elliot's ready.
Clean.
He's got his soccer jersey, and he's ready. We're ready. And here we're going to start to find out today if the Eagles are ready to defend this crown. 215-592-9494. Hugh, before we get into everything today, and we just got to hear Sirianni and Howie speak to kind of jump, you know, start this thing off. Hugh, what's the feeling for you coming here? You know, you live this life. Like, the first day of camp feeling, but also first day of camp as we watch a defending Super Bowl champion.
Butterflies. I mean, it's a different aura around here, obviously. You know what was funny? Is that when I walked around and I went to, you know, coming in, I got here a little bit early and I'm just walking around the building a little bit. And I didn't go into every room. But the one thing that I noticed almost immediately, the people that I came in contact with, nobody had on their Super Bowl ring. Nobody. And I think that's a testament to being focused on the upcoming season and putting that behind you. Because it has to be hard to do, because you just got the ring Friday, you know, and you got it Friday. You turn around and Wednesday, you're back to work to get ready for the next one. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, I think back to when AJ, you remember when AJ after the game, he said he was unsettled and everything like that.
Yeah, his post right after the Super Bowl.
And he got a lot of heat for that.
It was almost as if he wasn't satisfied.
Yeah, he got a lot of heat for that. And, you know, people were like, well, revel in it and da-da-da-da-da. I kind of get what he meant now. You know what I mean? Because you just see the fruits of your labor Friday, and next week you're back to work, and you're supposed to act like it hasn't happened. You know what I mean? And to be honest, thinking about what he said, he probably won't get to enjoy this until he's done playing. You know what I mean? Because you got to – like the standard has been set, and we have to get – people are ready for the next one. The fans are ready for the next one. You know, people are already talking about repeat, back-to-back, going back-to-back.
Well, as they should.
So that's the reality. Yeah, that's the reality that that's the world we live in, man.
Well, and they bring back one of the best teams in the NFL, and that's a reality. You know, here's what struck me this morning. So, Hugh, we were over by the media tent, and we were waiting for Sirianni to do his press conference and Howie came out with him. And I felt a different presence to both of them. I mean, Howie's won before, right? Howie's been doing this a long time, and he's one of the best ever to do what he does. But I just sensed, as Sirianni walked by us, a different kind of Sirianni, more of a confidence in his step. Look, the guy's got a new contract. He's a Super Bowl champion now. Clearly, his way works, right? I questioned his way. His way works. Nick Sirianni is a Super Bowl champion. And I feel like this team is laser focused to do it again. 215-592-9494. And I heard the morning show today. They were talking about the different pitfalls, right? Like things that could get in their way to repeating. And they were talking about injuries and the schedule. If there's one thing that I am not worried about, I mean, you're always concerned about injuries, right? That's football. The schedule is way tougher. That's part of the reality of being a first-place team and just this year with the divisions they play. One thing I'm not worried about in the slightest is a Super Bowl hangover with this football team. Hugh, I feel like they have the right temperament. I feel like they have the right people. They have the right GM. They have a coach that I think preaches this stuff every day. We used to have fun with his core values, and we still will. But I think there's something real about he's pretty consistent, and every day we got to start from scratch, and I think that's going to work. And, Hugh, I see a team that has a ton of players that played at huge schools, and I think that matters. Right? Like, if you play at Nowhere University, you never won anything, like, you might not know how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of Georgia and Alabama kids. Like, at Georgia and Alabama, I mean, you lived that when you were on Atlanta. Like, those kids won one year, and then they had to come back the next year and win again. Like, they're used to doing it and then trying to do it again. I like that about this team. Hugh, I'm not concerned about a hangover, though, to be fair, 8 years ago, I think a lot of people here weren't concerned about a hangover, and that team that won the first Eagles Super Bowl, 2017, that next year was a hangover. Hugh, are you concerned at all about a hangover as we start this thing?
Yes. Yes, I am, for a bunch of different reasons, because I know you brought up the Georgia kids and what they won, the Alabama kids and everything like that. This is on another level. I know college football, I've never played in a division that garnered that much attention. You know, I played at a smaller school, so it was never like that. But here's the reality of what this team is dealing with. You've had success. And people that haven't had success want to be in close proximity to others that have had success. And the unfortunate thing about that is, you're like look at it, like, say, just pick a random player. He's a planet. And all these other planets are orbiting him, right? His gravitational pull gets greater after you win a Super Bowl. Now you have all these other people trying to get into your space, you know? And that's where the problem comes, because you're probably going to be in, hopefully you have a tight circle that, you know, you have people around you that can, you know, see these people coming a mile away and help you out. But a lot of times, a lot of guys don't, man. They don't. And it's unfortunate, because sometimes it could be people that are already in your circle that look at you differently, and you have to deal with that. That's the unfortunate thing about that. And this is that you have to lock in. You got to lock in. And you have to act like you haven't won anything. And you're talking about on a 53-man roster, having all 53 guys on the same page. That's kind of hard to do. So there's some concern there. Not saying it can't be done. Not saying that it can't be done. But there is some concern there, definitely.
215-592-9494. I mean, it's obviously a challenge. I mean, this doesn't happen often. The Chiefs had just done it before the Eagles knocked them off, trying to go for a three-peat. Before that, it had been a while since the Patriots back then. I mean, it's clearly one of the more challenging things to do in all of sports is to win back-to-back Super Bowls. But I'm not worried about a hangover aspect of it. If the Eagles aren't quite as good as last year, if they have more injuries, if the schedule just proves to be so hard that they end up being a 2 or 3 seed instead of a 1 seed, like, that's all part of the reality of the NFL.
Yeah.
But I don't I'm going to be surprised if I sit here in the middle of September and say they look hungover to me. That will surprise me. It wouldn't surprise you. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Are you concerned at all about a hangover with this team as they try to defend a title? All right, let's hear from Sirianni this morning, his press conference. This stood out as the Eagles come into camp, and one of those questions always come up. Who's hurt? Who's on the pup? We found out this morning it's only N'Kobe Dean. Is everyone in shape? I thought this was a really cool answer from Sirianni on how these guys came into camp and the kind of shape they're in.
Yeah, I think the guys have worked hard to put themselves in position to start camp. So all the guys came back in really good shape, weighing what they're supposed to weigh, doing really well on the conditioning test. And that's what camp's for, too. You know, I know these guys worked hard to be ready for that, but we'll do a lot of things that, you know, through the in the weight room, on the practice field, that are going to emphasize that conditioning. I think it's very clear the way we want to play football, with great physicality, with great detail, with great effort. There's no substitute there. You have to be in great shape. So we'll continue to push these guys to be in great shape, and I think we're off to a good start based off the conditioning test yesterday.
Well, speaking of shape, Hugh, you pointed out to me you saw Jordan Davis, and he looked like he was in good
shape.
Man,
he looks what they say, svelte. I text Ike, and I said, dog, he looked lean. He looks real lean. And that's, you know, just talking to some guys that, you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to make a conscious effort to control his weight at a younger age. Because as you get older, Joe, and me and you've had this conversation, I talk about it. Like, if you don't want your weight going up and down. You want to try to stay. It's like a flying a plane. You don't want it to take off and then land again because it burns more fuel. So you just want to try to keep it steady. He looks good, man. He looks good. And I know it's not lost on me that this is a contract year for
well,
him.
Well, they picked up the option, but yeah. But this is the year that determines does he get a long-term deal. I mean, yeah. it's a huge year.
It's not, you know, old heads know that. We talked about that. Man, we chopped that up a little bit. But you have to show them that you're serious about being here and being in shape. He looks good, man. He looks good. He looks like he's ready to go. Now he needs to just put it together on
yep.
the field.
And stay that way. And the fact they all passed the conditioning test tells me physically they're ready to go. I also like this morning from Sirianni. He was asked a question, hey, does it feel different, like being at camp? Because to me, he was kind of walking around like he had more confidence to himself, as he should. But does it feel different entering a camp as a Super Bowl champion? I love this answer from Sirianni this morning.
Feels the same, right? You got a lot of steps to go and daily work to put in. So, you know, every year at the training camp feels the same. You're not looking back. You're not looking forward. You're solely focused on today and how we can get better today. And so when you have that mindset, when you have that focus that we want to have as a football team, that's how everyone should be feeling, is, hey, how am I getting better today? Not thinking about anything else.
See, that's it. Like, all those little cliches that Sirianni did in the past, like, now they hit a little different now as a Super Bowl champion. And he's right. They got to start from scratch. It starts right now as they're on the practice field. 215-592-9494. Are you worried about a Super Bowl hangover for the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, the reality is they did have one 8 years ago. The first Super Bowl championship, the next year, they started slow. I mean, they looked like they were in one of those malaises. I think they've learned from it as an organization with Howie. And I think they're more ready for it with this group of players than they were 8 years ago. 215-592-9494. Kyle, back in the studio. What are you feeling? Camp has arrived. The Eagles are back on the practice field. Are you worried about a hangover?
No, I mean, I feel like Hugh's attacking this thing as though it's a roster full of Hugh Douglases, full of young Hugh Douglases showing
See,
up to camp.
If it was, I would pick him to go 5-12.
Why don't we start the show with me catching straight?
Fat and happy, chasing Carlos Stokes. Yeah, yeah. There's no Jason, way. Because no Carl way off. They'd repeat.
You're Jason the one Carl all season talking about DMs and all this stuff. These guys aren't worried about that, Hugh.
I didn't piss Kyle off early.
Well, no.
Because the guy's ready for a repeat, and you're like, well, you know.
I'm feeling good. Camp has started. You guys are out there. I'm not, but it's like hope springs eternal, as Hugh Douglas likes to say. I just think they have the right group put together, like starting from the top, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, the messaging from those guys. And then even just A.J. Brown, like immediately after the Super Bowl, talking about how he's hungry to dominate again. I just think
that hit different now.
That's the kind of group that they have out there. So, well I'm kind of with Joe. Like, I worry more about, you know, injuries regressing back to the mean, the schedule being a little bit harder, and even some of the losses on the defense. But in terms of, like, a Super Bowl hangover, I mean, you heard Coach, man. They're working hard. They showed up to their conditioning tests all pristine. Everything's looking good right
now. They didn't get fluffy like Hugh Douglas 1996.
Can I just say, you know, injuries and all the other stuff is part of the hangover, right? Because you don't have the time.
I just feel like that's part of any season in the NFL.
You know what I mean? You don't have the time to recover.
I understand your point on that. You know what I mean? Yes. So my bigger concerns are the schedule.
I just feel like Kyle wanted to attack me.
Well, I mean, you know.
Because we've been on the same page the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, it's about to go the other way.
You know what I mean? It's got to go the other way.
Well, it is a fair point. If they had a roster full of young Hugh Douglases, I mean, I would pick them to miss the playoffs. I mean, young Hugh Douglas wasn't built for a repeat.
I ain't trying to call nobody out, but we got a lot of young cats on here.
Yeah, but are they?
That all of a sudden they found, like, what they say after the dog gets a year old and his testes drop? Oh, they drop. I tried to not say it like that, but I said it.
What are you doing?
I'm trying. But you like, listen.
I get it.
Folks know what I'm talking about, and they have a little bit more bravado. They probably like, and with that comes, you know, you have a little bit more swagger in the club, and you're a little bit bolder.
Sure.
So you might go slide in the Megan Thee Stallion's DMs or somebody like that.
Oh boy.
You might shoot your shot. You just won the Super Bowl ring. You trying to holler at the top? You trying to holler at the top notch?
But you're missing an important factor here.
What?
They all passed their conditioning test, which I believe you failed in 1996.
I didn't fail it because before
they sent you home.
They didn't let me go home. They made me stay.
Because you were fluffy.
No, listen, Joe. They knew I wasn't gonna pass, so they was like, "Dog, don't even worry about it. You just can't go. You got to stay." I had to stay. But I got right before the season started.
Yeah, but you weren't as good as you were your first year. All right, 215-592-9494. Are you concerned about a Super Bowl hangover for the Philadelphia Eagles? Training camp is underway. Practice is happening right in front of us.
We were down to Eagles training camp yesterday, Hugh. And, you know, as we go throughout training camp and we look at the Eagles and kind of how they stack up with other teams in the NFC, other teams around the NFL, you look at these rosters. And ESPN released yet another list, this one ranking the rosters in the NFL as we enter this season. And the Eagles, to some people's surprise, do not rank number one. They rank number two behind the Baltimore Ravens. Some people are upset about this, but I don't understand why. Like, I look at this roster. I look at this team. Are the Eagles good? Yeah, the Eagles are really good. I mean, they obviously bring back a lot of talent from last year. But I don't look at this team and think that they're in a tier of their own. I think as this season begins, the Eagles have come back to the pack a little bit. You look at the defensive side of the ball. You've lost some players over there. We don't know if the replacements are going to be able to come in and fill in adequately immediately. I do not believe, as we enter this season, the Eagles are in a tier of their own. And want to get your thoughts on it. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you believe that the Eagles are in a tier of their own as they enter this season? Do you think they just pick up where they left off? Clearly the best team in football. I don't. I think it's a new season. You lost some players. I mean, I think there's reason to be confident that they can kind of, you know, fill in those gaps. But until we see it, I don't think you can just say that. And I don't have a problem with the Eagles being ranked behind the Ravens on this list, Hugh. I don't think they're in a tier of their own as we enter the season.
I find that pretty interesting that they have the Eagles ranked behind the Ravens. I guess that's because of the quarterback and how people feel about Lamar. But when I look at their depth chart and I look at the offense, because that's what we're talking about, I think, in my opinion, is that we're looking at these teams and we're grading them by their offensive firepower. Lamar Jackson, yeah. You know, Zay Flowers had a 1,000-yard season last year. 4 touchdowns, though. That don't jump out to me, you know. Who else they got? Rashad Bateman. I mean, you know, okay. But when you talk about the talent that the Eagles have, you talk about the offensive line. We have so many stars on one side of the ball that's why I'm bullish about the Eagles. You know, not obviously not because I played here, but you talk about Saquon Barkley at running back. You're talking about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at receiver. You're talking about, did I say Saquon Barkley's name yet?
Didn't say his name yet.
I said Jahan Dotson, who looked like he was coming on towards the end of the year. Dallas Goedert. who had moments last year when he was healthy where he shined. And then that offensive line, man, when I think about this Eagles team and what they've been able to put together, you talk about two all-pro tackles, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson. And that's a lot of talent that you have on your roster. You have a lot of talent on your roster. Cam Jurgens, center. That, to me, and they're all in their prime, that, to me, screams matchup problems for everybody.
Yeah, and I think they are a really good team. I mean, you look at this roster, it's one of the best in the NFL. But I look at some of these other rosters, too. I mean, the Ravens, they have a really good team. The Bills, they have a really good team. I don't think we can look at the Eagles and just say they're in a tier of their own and that nobody's anywhere close. I think these other teams are close, and I think it is a tight battle between these teams.
I will say this for this argument, and I think, again, I always preface it with this. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I think a lot of times when we make these lists, it always starts with the play of the quarterback. You know, that's how these things start. And Lamar Jackson is a hell of a quarterback, him and Josh Allen. But the talent that they have around them, say if they have an off game, they don't have enough talent around him. I'm going to say it like this because this is a good way to say it. They don't have enough talent around them to sustain them if the quarterback is not on top of his game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
The Eagles are in a position where they can win games if their quarterback is not playing well.
Right. This is the way I look at it as far as that goes. I think they were last year. I think last year that was the case. And I am confident in this defense. I think the defense is going to be good. But like the truth is, like they did lose essentially half the starters on that side of the ball. I mean, you lost two quarters of your secondary. Mm-hmm. You lost a few guys up front. Milton Williams, I think, was a really good player. Josh Sweat, I mean, obviously was huge in the postseason. So I just don't think it's so clear that the Eagles still have the same kind of roster they had last year. I don't know if like they would be able to make up for that in the same way. Because in 2023, the defense wasn't able to make up for it when mm-hmm. Jalen didn't play well. They weren't able to overcome those things. And now losing some of those pieces on defense, I think it's fair to look at this roster and say they've come back to the pack a little bit. And I also think when we look at a team coming off a great season like the Eagles came off of, we always kind of just like assume it's going to pick up where they left off. In 2023, we kind of assume that team, okay, well, they were great in 2022. They're going to be the same way. And they were for a lot of the year. In the end, obviously, kind of fell apart. In 2018, like, I think we look back on it now and feel like, okay, well, we should have seen that team wasn't nearly as good as we expected. But at that time, we felt like, okay, well, they're going to pick up right where they left off. This team's going to have a chance to repeat. And just because you have one great year, I don't think that necessarily means you're going to be as great the next season, because we look at teams like the Patriots, we look at teams like the Chiefs, they're the exception. They're not the rule when it comes to Super Bowl champions and sustaining success. So I do think they've come back to the pack a little bit.
You know, it's funny. When we started this week, I think one of the first things we talked about was I was asked, do I feel that there's a hangover, right? And I said, yes. I said there's potential for a hangover. And I got to tell you, man, being down there, being around those guys, feeling their energy, feeling their focus, I don't feel the same way that I felt Monday. And, you know, I do know, let me say this. I do know that there is potential for it to be a letdown because, you know, anything can happen. All those intangibles that we talk about. But as far as their focus is concerned and what they're talking about, the one thing that I always look at when I look at teams and the teams that I've been on is if the players are echoing the sentiment of the coaches. And the one thing that jumped out to me, TK, the first day we were out there, it started with Coach Sirianni and it started with Howie. And they talked about, you know, certain words they didn't use, and they talked about being focused and getting ready for the next one. So we get the chance to talk to Quinyon Mitchell and a couple other guys, Nolan Smith, and they've echoed the same thing. So to me, that says that has been beating their head. You know, they know what they have to do. They know the work that they have to put in, and they know that they're in a sweet spot where if they want to keep this thing going, they have to get back to work. So that's why I feel good about it. I think that, and when you look at man for man, when you line up against other teams, I think that's where the Eagles have their advantage because they have some seat. They're in the sweet spot of where they are as far as their careers are concerned, like all of them. They're in their prime and they're focused, you know. So I think with all of that being said, that puts them in a tier in their own because you have a lot of guys who are still viable players that are going to bring the other young guys along.
Yeah, and hey, I don't worry about it from a mentality perspective. Like, I think they're focused. I think they're saying all the right things, and I think they're doing all the right things. I just think from a roster standpoint, like, you look at it, of course, they have a lot of talent. Like, mm-hmm. They have a lot of talent on this roster, but it's not the same team that it was last year. True. And I think they're going to need to prove, especially on defense, that these guys who are stepping in are going to be able to do the job. I mean, I look at, man, Darius Slay, I think, is a big loss. I mean, that he played really well last year.
Yeah.
You look at Milton Williams up front. Milton Williams, and obviously you weren't going to bring him back, but it's still a big loss in terms of the defense. I think talent-wise, they're going to need to show that these other guys behind them can step up, and that's why I don't think we can just go into the season and say, oh yeah, they're still clear-cut the number one team in football.
I think they are because, for me, what has always been is most of your resources have been allocated to the offensive side of the ball. The guys on defense are somewhat interchangeable. They're young. I look at this the same way I look at the Kansas City Chiefs defense a few years ago when they had those young corners out there and they were doing on-the-job training. That might be a little bit of this situation, you know? And I understand that it's going to be a slog when you talk about the tight schedule that they have. You know, you got, week three. You got the Rams coming into town, and they've already said that they got this game scheduled on the schedule.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's going to be tough, but I think that there's enough of a foundation, especially on that defensive side of the ball, that they might not be as dynamic as they were out the gate last year, but they're going to grow and get better like they did last year.
Yeah.
And this offense is going to – like the offense that we were supposed to see, TK, at the beginning of the year, I think that's going to have to carry it away a little bit at the beginning.
I agree. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494, do you feel like the Eagles are still in a tier of their own when it comes to roster? I don't. I think their roster is really good, but I don't think it's egregious to have a team like the Ravens ranked over them right now. I do think they've taken a little bit of a step back from a talent perspective on paper. We'll see how it plays out during the year. Last year at this time, we wouldn't have thought the Eagles had the best roster in football either, and it turned out they did. But I don't think we can look at it clearly right now and say they're in a tier of their own. Would love to get your take. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Kyle Quinn producing the show today. Kyle, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own when it comes to this roster?
I think they are firmly in the top tier amongst every other team in the NFL. But to say that they're in a tier of their own with how many question marks they have going into the season, I can't go there just yet. Like, they had to replace a lot of guys on the defense, and whether you think the defense is still going to be top five, top 10, whatever, I think we should all be counting on the defense taking a little bit of a step back. I mean, I understand everyone's so infatuated with Vic Fangio, and I love Vic Fangio. It was amazing what he did here last season.
Amazing.
But he does need talent, just like every other coach needs talent to be the best in the league. Like, if you just look at his ranks in years that he's been a defensive coordinator, he was number one in terms of yards last season as the Eagles' defensive coordinator. The year before in Miami, 10th. 8th the year before that, 21st, 12th. Like, Vic Fangio has had middle-of-the-pack to, you know, bottom level-of-the-pack defenses, and that's because the talent matters. So there's just too many question marks along the defense for me to say that they're definitely going to be the number one defense in the league. The safety spot, I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know who's going to fill that part out the corner outside opposite Quinyon Mitchell. I don't know who's going to fill that. I still don't know if Nolan Smith is going to carry over what he did last season. Jalix Hunt, all that same stuff. Jordan Davis going to be a question mark too. Like, he came into camp looking like he was in great shape. Yeah, but I don't know what that's going to look like either.
Cheeseburgers alone, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then I just can't expect Saquon to blow by everybody like he did last season, 2,000 yards. I don't even know what Kevin Bitullo's offense is going to look like. And I think the interesting thing is, if you look at the odds for Super Bowl winning teams, or like the team's odds for a team to win the Super Bowl, the Eagles are third behind Baltimore, behind Buffalo. Like, at least nationally, they're viewed as a team that sort of fell back into that pack of top-tier teams in the NFL. I just need to see a little bit more before I say that they are far and away the best team in the NFL. They're still in a tier of their own going into this year.
Right, and especially that's interesting because you'd imagine in the NFC, the Eagles would have a clear path to the Super Bowl than those teams in the AFC because that's a stronger conference. And this is coming from somebody who thinks the defense is going to be really good. I do think the defense has a chance to be better than they were last year, but the bottom line, man, they got to go on the field and prove it. I mean, Keely Ringo, I think he can step in. That being said, we haven't seen Keely Ringo play consistent snaps at the NFL level yet. He's going to have to show it. Whoever that safety is, whether it's Andrew Mukuba, whether it's Sidney Brown, they've got to show that they can do that at the NFL level. Same thing for those guys up front, like Jordan Davis. It's great that he's come in shape. But we got to see, can he take on more snaps? Can he take on more reps and more responsibility? And Kyle mentioned the Petullo thing there. I think that's the biggest thing this offseason. I mean, the biggest loss for the Eagles, sure, they lost players on defense. Mm-hmm. To me, the biggest loss was Kellen Moore. I thought Kellen Moore did a phenomenal job last year. Kevin Petullo taking over. And I don't, like, it's not fair to say that, look at what happened with Brian Johnson in 2023. It's going to be the same thing this year. They're different coaches. It's a different situation. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we do have, like, the last time the Eagles lost their coordinator and their play caller, things on the offensive side of the football really fell apart.
Yeah, I feel like you have to go into it this year. Hopefully you have a better understanding, better communication. And Coach Petullo just enhances what they're already doing. You know, because there's going to be some variations in this offense. No question about that. But the core fundamentals of it should stay the same. Now, the way that you get to certain plays and things, I think those have to change. But the familiarity with the
that's a tough word.
Familiarity.
I'm here for you.
I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be important.
Yeah.
Familiarity.
There you go.
I guess for me, it's how do the Eagles adjust to the league's adjustment to them, right? Who doesn't have the Eagles circled on their calendar right now?
Everybody does. Everybody. They're the Super Bowl champions.
And if you just look at the schedule based on what we know now, there's not too many tomato cans. So, it's going to be a challenge. Everyone's going to give you their best shot. And do the Eagles have a counterpunch? Yeah. That's something I need to see before I go off and say that they're definitely the best team in the league.
I agree. That's a very old man term from Kyle, by the way. Tomato cans. I feel like you don't hear anybody under the age of 50 say tomato can.
All right. But I hear what Kyle's saying, but a lot of the things that we do, well, they do in the NFL is executing and being able to run things that you're familiar with and not make mistakes. I think for the most part, that's where the Eagles are going to be. You know, they're going to be consistent in some of the things that they do. They just need to be a little bit more creative in how they decide to do those, like how you move guys around to get to the formations that you want to get to and confuse the defense that you're playing against. So that's going to be important, just the evolution of this offense and how you get to certain things that you do well.
Are the Eagles in a tier of their own as they enter this season? I say no. I think they got to go on the field and prove it, as a lot of the players have said. I mean, Jordan Mailata said it. Landon Dickerson echoed the same sentiments yesterday that they got to go out on the field and prove it. Last year's last year. And I do think when you look at the roster, sure, they've come back to the pack a little bit. Doesn't mean they're a bad team. They're still, as Kyle said, firmly entrenched in that top tier. But do I think they're in a tier of their own as they ended last season clearly after Super Bowl 59. I don't believe that. Hugh does.
So as Jack mentioned, the Eagles they reported to camp yesterday. Today was the first practice. Today was the first time the players spoke. And Jalen Hurts spoke, of course. And we all noticed when we looked at the pictures of the ring ceremony that Jalen never seemed to be wearing the ring, right? He was holding the box with the ring in it. Even the picture with Mr. Lurie and Coach Sirianni, they were both wearing the rings and Jalen had it in his box. The question was, did Jalen wear the ring? And he was asked that question at camp today, and here's what he said.
In the photos that we've seen from the event, I haven't seen any of you actually wearing the ring itself. Did you eventually get to put it on? Why or why not?
Yeah, I've moved on. I moved on to the new year. You know, it's as simple as that.
You know, so I saw that response. because Elliot tweeted it out. Devin tweeted it out. I didn't hear it live. And then him saying, I've moved on. And I have to tell you, my initial inclination was to roll my eyes and go, oh, this guy again. But then I thought about it, and I actually love it. I started, I make everything about myself. That's part of what this is. But
you would never.
But you know around here that I don't celebrate victories very long. Like, I don't really care. I also don't like going out and having fun.
You wear your socks on the beach.
I wear my socks on the beach. I keep to myself. And I started thinking to myself, like, I like that Jalen Hurts is like this. Like, is it a little weird he didn't put on the ring at the ring ceremony? Sure, I guess. But it's really hard to repeat as Super Bowl champion. Most teams don't repeat as Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is how you handle the offseason after you've won the Super Bowl. Because one of the concerns is you're not as hungry the offseason after winning the Super Bowl as you are when you're chasing it, right?
Sure.
And we have a couple of examples of how people have handled the offseason around here. We have on one side, we have like Jalen Hurts, who didn't even put on a Super Bowl ring. He's concentrating on the next one. Even A.J. Brown right afterwards says, didn't feel as good as I thought it was. I'm just looking toward next year.
But he put his ring on.
But he did put the ring on. Nick Sirianni has been super quiet and focused. Yes. And then we have the other kind of the celebration, I guess, of the offseason. We have Saquon, who did a lot, even with Timothy Chalamet. Mm-hmm. We have Cooper DeJean, who did not turn a party invite. And to be quite honest with you, if we want to repeat as champions, I wish more people on the Philadelphia Eagles handled the offseason like Jalen. I like this attitude from Jalen.
I like it from Jalen. I'm glad everybody else isn't taking this certain mentality.
Really?
I don't need 53 of these. I don't. Jalen is a lot. And we've sort of just accepted that's our QB. That's how he rolls. I'm good with it. It works for him. I got no problem with that. But I also enjoy the Cooper DeJeans, the Saquon Barkleys. Right? Those guys are out having a good time.
Are you going to like it? And week one when Cooper DeJeans got the oxygen mask on the sideline because he's not in the same shape he was last year?
I will not like it if that's the case. I totally agree with you on that. I'm almost... I guess I'm entrusting them that they're going to be ready to go when the season starts. By the way, I said particularly to both of those guys, Saquon and Cooper, if they go out and have good seasons this year based off of what they did this offseason.
Oh, well, then they're animals.
Exactly.
They're cyborgs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because we've seen it before, right? I mean, bring back the Cole Hamels thing.
That's prime example right there, Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels was World Series MVP, spent the entire offseason doing commercials and this, that, and the other.
Banquet circuit.
And then in 2009, he had a horrible season. He had that quote at the end of the year that he was glad the season
Couldn't
was
wait
over.
Till the season be over with, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I understand what you're saying that you can't have 52 or 53 Jalen's in there.
Jalen's like a cyborg. I don't need 53 of those, man.
I'll say this. I'm glad he is this way.
Yes. Okay with him being this way. Because he has a more impactful job, more important job than the rest of those guys. I don't mind a little personality. I'm perfectly fine with that. It seems like, and we'll find out coming up here shortly, these guys knew when to turn it off and to get the training going. Saquon certainly seemed like he turned it off earlier than Coop, as Coop was still going in the summer.
Yes.
Yes. But I'm okay with it. I was even happy to see AJ with his ring going.
Yes, did he put it on?
Yeah, he put it on. Well, he's having a good time.
You know, when Jalen didn't put it on, that meant AJ was going to put it on.
That meant AJ was going to put it on.
Yeah, well.
Man, let's not go down there.
Well, and the only thing I think with Saquon, too, and the reason that I sort of wish, I'm glad as a person, I can separate this.
Yeah.
As a person, I'm glad that Saquon enjoyed himself this offseason.
Yeah.
As a football fan, I think about how hungry he was the offseason before and what it led to. And I just sort of wish there was a little more Jalen in Saquon this offseason. Like, I don't need him to not put the ring on or anything like that. But man, like, last offseason, he was out to prove to the world that he was Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't have that this offseason. Now, like, look, he knows his body better than anybody else. But if you're asking me if I'd feel a little more confident in Saquon this season, if it was more like a Jalen offseason than it was like a Saquon offseason, my answer would be yes.
Yeah.
You know, with Saquon specifically.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly where you're coming from. And the amount of touches Saquon had last year. So you're already dealing with that aspect of it.
Yep.
But I think with Saquon, I think Saquon has a newfound life in the NFL, right? And I think, listen, within the team goals, he has individual goals. I think he's chasing a Canton bust.
Yes.
That's what he wants.
Yep. Yep.
That's what he wants. And he puts together another 3 or 4 years, 1,500 yards rushing. He damn sure has a chance of getting into the Hall of Fame. So I think that's where his motivation is at, meaning that his training part of his offseason, I'm pretty sure he pushed himself. Now, Coop is the young buck. I don't know if the young bucks really know what it means to have an offseason and then get prepared again.
He might learn a lesson.
Yes.
Cooper might learn a lesson.
He may learn. Yeah. He may learn a lesson. But I don't have a problem with the way Jalen has sort of gone about it. Again, like I said, he's like our CEO. I'm good with that. But I certainly don't have a problem with I like a little more personality.
Sure.
I like a little bit more personality. I want the guys to have a little fun.
215-592-9494. What do you think about Jalen not putting on the ring and putting it past him? Jack, before we get the next question, I need to know what you thought.
Imagine what he thinks.
Yeah, come on.
It's just so corny. It's like it's trying too hard. It's trying too hard for me.
But
like,
I think that's how he is.
Locked in.
That's not locked in.
It's Mamba mentality.
No, yes. Exactly. It's I'm trying to be Kobe. I'm trying to be Derek Jeter. I'm trying to be Michael Jordan.
I want him to be Kobe and Derek Jeter and Michael
just
Jordan.
Put the ring on at the ring ceremony. You can lay your hair down for one night and celebrate something you did last year with your teammates.
You know what?
Like,
I wanna,
what are we talking
I'm
about?
I'm actually blaming the Eagles organization.
No,
for having the ring ceremony too late.
Shut up for a second.
Okay.
Shut up.
You shut up.
You're there with your teammates who put together an unbelievable season last year. You can let your hair down for one night. Like, you don't have to put on the persona all the time. It just, I love the locked in, don't worry about last year, yada, yada, yada. For the ring ceremony?
Yes.
Where you can celebrate for one night. With
but it was the night before camp. It was too late in the year.
My
they should have done it in
just
May.
Just put the ring on.
No.
Put the ring on.
Scheduling conflicts, Mike.
Well, yes, you never know about that. Yeah.
Jeez.
Elliot joining us
it's
now.
It's going down.
Yeah. Elliot, what do you
What's
think?
Up?
What would your attitude be there?
I think they should be expected to make the Super Bowl.
This year.
But do you expect them to make the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No. I don't expect them to make the Super Bowl, but okay. I think the expectation should be the Super Bowl. And honestly,
everyone thinks the expectation should be the Super Bowl.
Well, no, but I didn't used to think that. Coming off of the Super Bowl, I think it's kind of a icing on top year, like whatever happens, happens. But Ike did make the point to me, which I think is a true one. If you're the Chiefs or the Patriots during those runs, you expected to go there. And I think we should view the Eagles in a similar light to those teams. So while, again...
Well,
like,
wait, but...
Like, they've gone to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. They have the best roster in the NFL. I agree. It's super hard to get back. I don't think it's a complete failure if they don't.
Right.
But ultimately, if you want to be, if everyone wants to, you know, puff their chest out and say the Eagles are the best team of the last 25 years, but then you got to be treated like the other best teams. And that means you should be expected to go.
Well, yeah, but most, okay. There's a difference, I think, and this is what I meant to say to you earlier, Ike. I think there's a difference between a general organizational expectation that, like, we are a Super Bowl team every year, and a fan looking at it or a neutral analyst looking at it and say, this year, you really expect that to happen. And I think as an organization, they can expect, hey, we're going to be there every year, and that the players and the coaches to think we're going to do it this year. But I think if you take a step back, you're really giving two answers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, maybe I'm not understanding the question completely. Then.
Do you expect the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl this year?
Yes.
But you don't. You just said you don't think they're
going
to.
But no. I'm saying I think like, they are good enough to do it, and they should do it. Now, if they don't, do I think that's a failure? I don't think it's a failure, depending how it plays
right,
out.
That's different,
you
yeah.
just said, hold on, I just want to be clear, because right. you just said you don't think the Eagles are, when you make your prediction
okay.
this year.
Let me be clear.
Are
okay?
the Eagles going to be in the Super Bowl?
Well, we'll see what happens over the next month. But yes, if I were to pick today, I would pick the Eagles to be yes. in the Super Bowl
okay.
in the NFC.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said something differently.
I might
he
have.
He did, but he sort of misunderstood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay.
So here's what I would say about what you're saying, because I don't think the logic is flawed in what you're saying. But the reason why I think it's okay for us to expect them to go to the Super Bowl this year, because they just showed us what they can do when we didn't expect them to do it. We didn't expect them to go to the Super Bowl last year.
No.
So coming off of winning 16 out of the 17 games remaining in the season mm-hmm. and going through the playoffs the way that they did, I don't know, and bringing back virtually everyone, I don't know how you don't expect them to go to the Super Bowl the following year, other than that it's hard to repeat. But we're saying get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We didn't say we expect them to win it, even though we do expect them to win it. If we expect them to get there.
You're not going
to
pick against them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I also don't think, and I'll use me here, but you know, for a large portion of the fan base, I'd say, we don't get to say all offseason, Jalen's definitely a top five guy. Nick is disrespected. This is the best receiver duo, running back duo. Jeff Stoutland's, you know, all these things. And then go, well, the second cornerback spot's not great.
Well, sure. Yes. I am consistent in that. But, yes, I would guess if you say all those things and you're like, I don't care that this guy left. I don't care that guy left. This young guy. The last question on this, or just last thing. You said, and I think you're right, the Chiefs thought this and believed this, and the Patriots thought this and believed that. So you picked the two teams out of the large number of Super Bowl winners over the last 25 mm-hmm. years that were able to do that.
Right.
Most teams did not.
But I think a difference with the Eagles is they've been twice in 3 years.
Okay, and the Seahawks were too.
Correct, and I think those Seahawks teams, I forget the exact timing, but they should have, after they won it, or when they were in the Super Bowl the year before, if you go two times in 3 years, then you should expect to go back. Like, you're obviously good enough to do it.
I wonder, did they go back, or did they miss 1 year? They won it.
They didn't win back-to-back.
They didn't go back-to-back. Right. No, well, did they go back-to-back?
I think
what I can't remember.
They lost to the Patriots, and then
they
beat
won
the Broncos.
First. No, they won first.
The Broncos won was first. I think the next year they went back, because wasn't the 15th Super Bowl Panthers versus Bucks? Or Panthers versus Broncos?
Broncos.
Yeah, maybe it was. It was back-to-back.
Because
it was
13, 14, 15. 13 was the year, was the Malcolm Butler pick. No, 13 was the Broncos game.
No, they
game
won the Super Bowl first.
And then it was the Butler pick, and then I think it was the Cam Newton Super Bowl.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm thinking from Seattle standpoint. You're talking about from Denver standpoint. Why are you confusing the situation? He's talking about Seattle.
Well, he was talking about Seattle.
That's what I thought we were talking about.
Yeah,
it feels like
we
the Spider-Man
thing. Yeah.
Well,
you're talking about Denver. That's why you confused
me. I'm talking about the Denver Super Bowl. The Denver Super Bowl.
Let's get this nailed down. I believe there's a way we could figure it out super quickly.
I thought he was talking about Seattle.
Actually,
I was talking about Seattle.
Could you Google it?
Won their Super Bowl first.
There's a machine right in front of
you. Well, here's why it's different. Because I know Denver lost theirs first.
Yes.
They got smoked by Seattle. And then Peyton won the one where he didn't really do anything against Carolina. But I thought we were talking about Seattle.
So there must have been a year between, to your point.
Yeah, so when Seattle whooped them, and then it was the Malcolm Butler play the next year.
So they did go back-to-back.
So they went back-to-back.
That's why they went back-to-back.
So Denver had a year off in between.
Forget Denver.
Forget Denver. Yeah, please. I'm begging you.
Forget Denver. That's why it got confusing. It's Seattle we were talking about.
So before we get to training camp stats,
which, by the way, was in our favor.
Yes.
Yes.
Get out of here. They already went to one. All right. Before we get to training camp stats, a tweet from J.J. Watt today. Now, you would say you respect J.J. Watt, an all-time player. You know, seems like a good guy, too.
I have an interesting side note about J.J. Watt, but go ahead.
Okay. Here's what he tweets today. And he puts, Howard style, he puts stats in quotes. Training camp stats are insane and ridiculous. Mm. Used to think it was always just people joking, but now seeing them seriously reported. You have no idea what the purpose of that period is, what the goals are, what the context is, etc. It could be strictly a third and long blitz period where every play is skewed toward the defense's advantage. coaches could be asking the quarterback to focus on one specific route concept. D-line may be focusing on only bull rushers one day or just speed rushes for one period. More importantly, practice is for practicing. You're supposed to fail. You're supposed to try new things, see what works and what doesn't. If you only do what works, you'll never grow, adapt, and change. The entire point of training camp is to build and grow toward the season so that you perform your best when the real games start. Your response to J.J. Watt.
Yeah, so first, obviously, J.J. has forgotten more about football than I know. So,
way to get that out of the way.
Yes, and he has been in training camps. And yeah,
a lot of people didn't know that.
Exactly,
until you
just to clarify, yeah, the 5'8 guy in the soccer kit. But here's the thing. This is what always happens with the training camp stats, is people go, well, you need more context. Yes, I agree. The stats are not the end-all, be-all, much like you can't just look at a box score of a game and get the full story of what happened. If a quarterback on a play goes 1 for 1 for 3 yards, but it's 4th and 2, then that is an awesome play. But if you told me a quarterback just went 1 for 1 for 3 yards, that doesn't mean as much. So when I say that Jalen Hurts is completing 93% of his passes this offseason and over the last 2 practices, I agree that doesn't tell the whole story. And I agree that I don't have as good of a read on what the players are trying to accomplish in practice as the players do. But that's true for a lot of things. When I watch an NFL game, or when Pro Football Focus watches an NFL game, they don't know what defense is being called, but they still grade safeties and they still make judgments. So I agree that I don't have the full scope of training camp for the training camp stats. But what I do know is I have more information than people that don't keep stats. You can tell me that, you know, like the stats maybe don't perfectly depict what's happening. But when I tell you Jalen Hurts has completed 93% of his passes or went 305 passes last year with the interception, that is a better description of what's happening in practice than me coming on here and going, Jalen's been great.
I agree with
you. So that's the thing I don't get about the training camp stats and why it works people up so much. It's just more information.
Well, so if I were to defend J.J. Watt in this,
yes.
Now that many people have copied you and you are a trailblazer.
The godfather of training camp stats.
And I believe that you are. I think we all will give you that credit. Now that it's being tracked everywhere, I would bet what he's seeing a lot of is QB was 10 of 17 with 2 picks and fans melting down and him going like, you don't understand that, like this is about more than that. So I would imagine that while you give proper context to it, or mostly proper context to it, that not every fan does, especially the people consuming.
So I think that's probably true. But I would also say that if you told me, so I am not in Cleveland at their practices, right? And by the way, I track stats for the Cleveland Browns a few years ago, and now I think that's why they do it. But regardless, so the Cleveland Browns, the Browns are tracking their stats, or the reporters are out there. I'm not at practice, but if you told me whoever you want to pick, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, was 10 of 17 for 2 interceptions, you're right, I don't have all the context, but I can look at that and go, not a great day, right? Like the 2 interceptions, almost 50% completion percentage, no touch. Because here's the thing. Even if they are doing certain situational drills, he still threw an interception. The drill does not call for an interception.
Yeah, but if they're saying, we want you to get to that guy. Like, we want you to find a way to throw to that guy. Like, let's take Jalen, for example. Like, we said last year, you said he was showing a lot of short things and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Jalen, we get it. Like, we get that you can complete those. What we want you to do is whatever you do, we don't want you to throw the check down. Even if it's iffy, we want you to try to go downfield.
Right.
His stats are going to be worse.
Correct. But
so the fact that his stats are worse, if they're telling him to do something that is more dangerous in that, like, do you see what I'm saying? Like,
so here's where, and I'll use a real world example of this. And I think it's okay for me to say this. So a few years ago, the Eagles had a practice and Jalen had, I think his completion percentage that day was relatively mundane. It wasn't great. It wasn't super low, but I gave him a D for the day because just watching, I was like, not good. But then I was told after, actually, we were working on blitzing. And so while it was a lot of short completions, that was good, right? So in that instance, I agree with J.J. Watt. I didn't know what they were trying to accomplish, so I graded him poorly. But the stats are still the stats, and I still give a better depiction of what happened at practice than someone that just says, you know, he only, like, he was okay, or like he completed some of his passes. I just think with all, with everything in sports, more information can be used in different ways, but it's better to have that information than to not have it. His issue is with the context of the stats, not with the stats themselves.
All right. And you think a player that always has really, really good stats is probably obviously a really good player, right?
Well, I feel like you're trying to trick me.
I'm not.
But I just... what I will say is, as someone that has tracked training camp stats for a long time,
yeah,
I have seen an exact correlation. In 2017, Carson's camp has always been the gold standard for me. Carson was awesome that year. Last year, Jalen, 305 throws without an interception. I think we would all agree the defining thing of Jalen's year last year was probably he took care of the ball, right? So what you see in camp does often correlate, in my professional opinion, into the season.
As a future GM.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to go 305 passes in training camp this year without throwing a touchdown?
Honestly, I didn't, but I'm starting to think he might.
Uh-oh. So why don't
I'm not trying to hype it up. Like,
wow. Why don't you didn't let me answer. Like, I was talking about throwing a touchdown. He still hasn't thrown a touchdown yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Is he going to go for another record?
Yep.
So what are the stats for today, Elliot?
So today, Jalen was 17 of 19, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Mm. Over the last 2 days, he's completing 93% of his passes. I think a difference between Jalen today and Jalen yesterday. Yesterday, Jalen was 14 of 15. Today, he should have been 18 for 19. One of his passes was dropped by Will Shipley. Hit his hands, dropped it.
Oh, damn.
I know. Tell me about it.
That's my guy, Ship.
I have a Shipley thought in a second. Okay. But from Jalen's perspective, I think what the 93% shows me and what the 17 of 19 shows me is I don't get to watch these plays twice, so maybe there are guys open down the field that he's not seeing, and so the coaching staff would grade it differently. But when you're 17 of 19 and 14 of 15 the day before, that tells me you know before the snap where your safety net is. So maybe you're not throwing it where you want it to, but you know what the defense is doing, you know what play you're calling, and you know where to go if it's not open. So I think when you're completing a huge percentage of your passes, I think in training camp you should complete probably 78%. Like 75, 78, when you consider there's often 7-on-7s where you can check it down. Like, you should complete a high percentage. But 93%, where one of the three incompletions is a drop, tells me he is very aware of where he should be going with the football when things aren't working out.
Couple questions.
Okay.
Is he even throwing the ball in the end zone?
So they have not run.
We couldn't have been, right?
he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass, but it doesn't mean he hasn't.
No, so they've not run any red zone drills.
Okay.
And I will say it is hard to throw a touchdown in training camp that's not in the red zone, because you basically have to complete a 50-yard bomb, because if you catch a 20-yard pass, you're kind of down as soon as you catch the ball because they're not tackling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you know?
Why don't we throw 50-yard bombs?
They haven't done it in 2 days.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. Other question. Third receiver.
Yes.
Hearing some good things about Marshall.
So I would say Marshall's the fourth receiver.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm saying third receiver position, yes. And now I'm just talking about everybody that's not Devontae and AJ. I'm hearing Marshall.
The only touchdown that's been thrown in training camp was from Tanner McKee to Marshall.
To Marshall,
and
okay.
And he beat Keely Ringo down the sideline for the touchdown. I thought the throw was actually only okay, and I thought Marshall did a good job adjusting to it. And what stands out about Marshall to me is if you put him next to Jahan Dotson, Anaya Smith, Danny Gray, whoever, all these other guys, he's just the best athlete by far. You put him next to Anaya Smith, and it's just obvious he has such a huge physical advantage. I was drafted considerably higher than Anaya Smith was.
Second round pick?
Yeah. Comes from, you know, wide receiver U. Sorry, Corey, but I think LSU is maybe the best one. Maybe
it's a good argument. Yeah. Ohio State, LSU. That's a good argument.
AJ Brown said yesterday that Terrace Marshall is going to make the other receivers uncomfortable because he's clearly coming for a roster spot.
Oh, good.
So I've been impressed by him. I think I'm going to put my 53 out tomorrow and he'll be on it. I think he's okay. Gonna, yeah.
So before we get to your Will Shipley thought, any stats from Tanner McKee and Kyle McCord today?
Yeah. So Tanner McKee was 11 of 15. Tanner McKee, to me, what stood out through 2 days is he does make some really nice throws. He has, I would say, an accurate, maybe not special arm, but a very good arm. He's just consistency isn't there yet like it is with Jalen. Because he just, there will be two passes a day where, like today, he had someone wide open. It was like a little dump down. And I don't know if the ball slipped out or what, but it just got like pegged right at the guy's feet. So I think consistency is big for him. He has moved a little more through the first 2 days. He had a running first down yesterday, which made everybody kind of laugh and go crazy on the sideline. But he's definitely moving more. So I think he's had a good first 2 days for sure.
And Kyle McCord, anything?
Kyle McCord's barely playing.
Okay.
He got like 4 reps today, 5 reps, and he was good. I have him as 4 for 4 in the final team drill. He had one nice throw about 15 yards. The arm strength's there, but he's just not – him and Dorian Thompson-Robinson are barely playing.
Yeah, you're going to get to see Kyle McCord in games.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah,
he's
going
to play in all the preseason games.
Well, and what's interesting watching Dorian Thompson-Robinson is it's like watching rookie Jalen practice on the same field as veteran Jalen. Dorian Thompson-Robinson gets the ball, and within a second, he's running. I would guess of the 10 reps.
Running?
Yeah, he runs almost half the plays he has the ball. And to
that's
me,
not good.
Well, to me, that shows he does not know not he does not know what to do. Like
right.
The ball is getting to him, and either it's something he wasn't expecting or whatever. But that's how Jalen was as a rookie. I remember players kind of laughing at Jalen and saying, you gotta throw it in 7-on-7s. But Jalen now obviously has improved. So Dorian Thompson Robinson, I don't think he's gonna make the team, but there are physical traits that are intriguing, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, he and McCord would have to battle it out.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be McCord.
I agree.
So what is your thought on Will Shipley?
So going into camp, I thought Will Shipley was the clear-cut number two. No question about it. That is not how it's played out in camp. A.J. Dillon and Will Shipley, and it's only 2 days, have basically split first-team touches, in my opinion, when Saquon's not out there. You were seeing A.J. Dillon touch the ball quite a bit. I mean, yesterday, the first running back to carry it that wasn't Saquon was A.J. Dillon. And I'm pretty sure that was the case today. I can double check. But A.J. is getting just as many touches, just as many carries, and it's not the 50-50 I thought it was going to be.
Well, I mean, listen, A.J. Dillon was a second-round draft pick.
And has a ton of NFL success.
Yeah, he has to NFL experience already. So him, it's more about staying healthy.
Yeah.
And he looks good out there.
Yeah, staying healthy.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I said this all last year. Will Shipley does not pop to me when I watch. I think he could be a good player.
I think he does.
See, I think he doesn't. I always thought they made fun of me, but I thought Gainwell popped when he had the ball. I didn't think Shipley popped.
Shipley was a rookie last year.
Yes, yeah.
See, Gainwell wasn't even thought of as a rookie year.
Shipley seems more elusive in the open field to me.
Really?
From when I see him at practice. I didn't think Gainwell had any special traits. I think Will Shipley is a better receiver, and I think he's slightly more elusive in the open field.
Anything of note on defense today?
Yeah, so on defense, a couple things. One, Andre Sam got first team snaps at safety today. And
Andre Sam.
Exactly, right? So
he was
on the practice squad last year. They like him. Christian Parker said he was a player behind the scenes that really had a good year.
Okay.
But Andre Sam should not be getting first team snaps at safety on a defending Super Bowl team 2 days into camp.
No.
This should be we're preparing for preseason game number 4, so he's out there. To me, Andre Sam being out there indicates that safety spot is not only wide open, I don't think anybody's coming close to grabbing a job so far.
Well, what about that?
Well, it's only been 2 days.
Well, it's been in the offseason.
That one guy's still a free agent. Your guy.
Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons still out there.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if nobody pops to them, whether they go and get a veteran who they know can at least play a position.
No, it clearly says that nobody has grabbed a position.
And
is Lewis Cine doing anything?
He's getting mostly third-team reps. Okay. I haven't seen him do anything.
People seemed excited about him last year.
That was a first-round pick. But, we talk about the edge position and how inexperienced they are. Their starting safety group right now probably has less than 2,500 career snaps between five players. I mean, Keeley, Quinyon, Cooper. I guess Reed, if you take him out, he's played a ton. But then Makuba and Sidney Brown have barely played. So what stands out, in my opinion, is how much they're shuffling guys in and out. Sometimes it's Makuba. Sometimes it's Sidney. It's Andre Sam. They have Adoree Jackson out there sometimes, or it's Keeley. They are definitely tons of movement there. And it's just very different than on offense, where they are completely set at all 11 spots.
Can you hang out for a minute? Because I want to get a Jihad Campbell report from you.
Well, that's the other thing from
By the way, remember, before you break it,
yep.
Linebackers, we were doing this last year with the linebackers.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
they were shuffling everybody, and this person's on the first team, this person on the second team. Didn't even know we had a defensive all pro.
Yeah, then they stabbed Devin White in the back.
You're still Devin White. You always sticking up for Devin White and Bryce Huff.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.